to put in trust. You know, that's kind of a legal term. Parathipomi is the Greek word, and it's a little stronger than sometimes comes forth in the King James. It means there are certain things God puts in your trust for your purpose to utilize and to see that it is spread to others, your friends. Doesn't mean you're supposed to be a preacher, okay? It simply means that if someone needs a little help in truth, that you entrust them. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And when God gives you a truth, He puts it in your trust, parathipomi. He means for you to guard it, to keep it. It's precious. And He wants you to take care of it. Open your books, if you would, to your Bibles, to Luke chapter 12. Let's pick it up about verse 37. We're going to find the kind of a layman's reason for using this term. Christ uses it for, as an example of what it should mean in your life. Okay? Luke 12:37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. That is, Christ knows those that watch, that are watchmen. Well, what does that mean? Well, watch the Scriptures. Know the time. Know the seasons. You're living in the end times. He's going to return soon, and if you're watching, that's fine. If you're doing what He would expect you to do, He's going to reward you. But there are a lot of people, when you look out in this world today, they don't even know for sure there is a God. They know there's something. Unfortunately, many of them think it's a government, okay, or maybe people. We do have a Father. He's watching, but He expects you to watch, okay? And if He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. That's from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. That means right in the middle of the night. Don't be off guard. Doesn't mean you have to be laying awake in bed or anything. It's just that know the seasons. You know what transpires when the false Christ appears and what His message will be, how He'll operate. Why? Because you're a watchman and you're familiar with the Word. God has trusted you or entrusted you with that truth. 39, and this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. In other words, if you watch, your house is not going to be broken into by the false Messiah. You're not going to allow it. Why? You have power over him in Christ's name. You don't have to put up with malarkey. Okay, that's something you really need to get buried right down in your mind. You do not have to put up with malarkey because you're entrusted with the truth and the seasons and the time and these things you know. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. And really, you know, for many people, when that's going to be and why they're going to be caught so off guard, they're going to accept the false Messiah, thinking Messiah is here. And then when He truly does come, boy, what a shock. Okay. They'll have a lot more shock than that when they realize who they've been in bed with. Then Peter said unto them, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And it does go to everyone. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful servant and wise steward whom his Lord shall find, shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Well, he told you back in verse 37, the verse we started with, those that are watching, they're the ones that hear. Everybody will hear it, but it doesn't mean anything to them. But it does mean something to those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. That's the Zadok, that's the elect. You can read of that in the millennium in Ezekiel chapter 44. where the priests of the Zadok are the only ones allowed to approach the throne through the millennium time. And you have a right to earn that right, even now, as you watch, as you search the Scripture, as you determine the time. But and if that servant say in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming," it ain't going to happen. Okay. "And shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken." That's to say, really live it up in this world. Let this world, you should always take care of your business, but don't put your business before God or it's going down the tubes. Okay. Don't get so involved in the world that you leave God out of the equation or you're going down the tubes. Okay. Not because you've got to have God's blessings to be successful or you're not going anywhere. Okay. Period. It is written, and as it is written, so it shall be. "The Lord of that servant, when he come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware," why he's not a watchman, "and will cut him in asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." Why? Because he is an unbeliever. Any way you want to slice it, may claim to be otherwise, but he's an unbeliever. He wasn't watching. "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." In other words, when you know better and you still do it, he's going to give you a double thumping. Your old gourd's going to be thumped real good when you know better. Okay. A lot of people don't know any better. But if you know better and still leave God out of the equation of your life, you're in for a real good thumping, okay? "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." Father's not going to be all that upset with him. Why? He's ignorant, okay? "For unto whomsoever much is given," listen to me carefully, this is why we came here, "of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Even in men, when they given much, the word committed is paraithemi. And it means entrusted. Put that trust in. Instructed them. Had them ready. Counted on them. Had them on watch. Ready to go. And even men themselves in the world, if they entrust somebody to really do something, they're going to expect more out of you than they are anyone else. Why? Because they picked you for that position. They gave you that authority to be in that place, even in the world today. And what God is telling you, if I entrust you with the truth, I'm going to expect more out of you. If your neighbor loses someone, I expect you to share with them the comfort of knowing where that person is now, where the deceased are, that they're with the Father, and be able to document it in the Word if they so desire. That's to say, to be entrusted with a truth that is a comfort to all mankind. He expects that. Okay? And you know something? He's your Father, and he has a right to expect that. If he enables you with the truth, and when he has a child that's hurting, that does not have the truth, he expects you to comfort that one. Okay, that's not to always protect your credibility. You know when that time is and what you should do. Don't want you to go down here on the corner and pass out tracts. Okay, so, "I'm a Christian." Okay, you don't need that. The people should know it by the way you live, and to look by your actions and your deeds. You don't have to advertise it. But there's where that word is here, that even man, when he has entrusted someone with something, he expects more out of that person. So does God. Okay. And that's good. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? In other words, the real truth can start a fire. Why? Because God is a consuming fire. But what is it to you? It's the Holy Spirit, and it warms your heart. to a non-believer or to someone that is outside of God's plan, that fire can burn. That's getting the gourd ducked. But to you, the Holy Spirit touches you, lifts you, enables you, blesses you, causes your business to be successful when you truly work at it. You know, God appreciates workers, people that work at what they're doing, bringing those blessings forth, okay? He's there, and He sees to it. He does bless, okay? But what does it mean if He finds it already kindled? Well, if you've got a little bit of salt in you, okay, that, you know what salt does? It seasons stuff. You can take something that is so bland, it's just yuck. You salt it a little bit, and not bad. Say, well, that's what you're supposed to be to people. It's just a little bit salty, okay, to make a difference, to love Him, and to be ready to serve Him when He entrusts you with the truth. You see, what I'm getting to, my friend, that is a charge. It's not just a wish. It's a charge. And God makes that charge to you. He entrusts you with something. He expects you to carry it, to guard it. You know, I want to tell you a little bit about that word, the etymology of it. Greek words are fantastic. The etymology of paranithemi is to set something forth, like you set food in front of people, you set it out for them, okay? Well, that's kind of what this is. It's only translated as a spiritual thing. It sets forth the truth for you to eat upon, to absorb, and to take, and to partake thereof. And then after you do, guard it, watch. Be a watchman over that. Take care of it. Okay. That being the etymology of the word is to stand beside, to entrust, to bring forth. You can bring forth. Why? Because you got the truth. And you know how to share that on an individual basis. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? He had to be crucified. He did that for you. It had to be. Why? Because that's our salvation. Because, I don't know, you may have noticed, we're not perfect. And He brought forth forgiveness of all sin. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. Meaning, those that are of Satan are my enemy. They're not my buddies. And I'm not bringing peace to the whole world, but just to those that love me. Those that watch. I got some bad news for those that disbelieve, or they're not going to be with us. Okay. You don't even have to worry about them. There's a big lake coming up. You can read of it in Revelation chapter 20. Bye-bye, Mr. Chips. Okay. And good riddance. Okay. If they have every opportunity in the world to love Him, to see Him, and follow Him, and they refuse, hey, in the eternity, we don't want them with us. Okay. They're not worthy. That's why He's saying, I don't come to bring peace, but division. 20:52, and from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. In other words, some people have the truth and some don't. And if you live in a house where some people don't have the truth, don't ride on them, okay? If they don't have ears to hear, it's not, they can't help it. Okay. It's not their fault. So you're supposed to be mature, rise above that, love them, their family, but don't preach at them when they can't hear. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You know when that happens, it's when the false Messiah appears. A mother's not going to deliver a child up to death, but Satan's name is death. And if they think it's Christ, they're going to go to Him and say, save my daughter. She's been misled. I want you to go help her. And Satan will say, I'll help her. You know, just bring her to me. I'll help her. And boy, will he. That's why, don't go, of course. You know, be delivered when it's your time and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. But that's why there is division. It's because of religion. I'm glad that Christianity is not a religion, but a reality. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west straightway, you say, there cometh the shower, and so it is. You can look over there and you can discern the weather. You can tell it's going to rain. That cloud's moving this way and going to open up and we're going to have rain. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it comes to pass. Notice when a south wind blew, it was at this time of this writing, it was straight off the desert. And naturally, when wind straight off the desert hits you, what is it? It's hot. Okay? Ask our boys in Iraq and girls in Iraq about that. They'll tell you. Okay? It's hot. Okay? So you can discern the weather, but you know nothing about the Word of God. You know nothing about me standing before you, Christ doing the speaking. You can't even recognize me. You hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Why is it you can't tell you're in the end times? Because that fire is starting. It is growing. That Holy Spirit is touching people, leading people, guiding people, and our Father's in control. Turn with me, if you would, to the 13th chapter of Mark. Matthew, rather. 13th chapter of Matthew. The answer to many problems that people fail to realize, this is the parable of the sower. Okay, you're all familiar with the parable of the sower, and what it means is broadcasting. I've done it. I've been in farming and agriculture long enough that sometimes when you want to till a soil and get it ready, and you get a bag of seed and you sing it, one man can cover about 30 feet pretty well in broadcasting seed. Okay, but some of those seed are going to hit in different places where it doesn't do so good. Some of them are going to hit in good places. It's simply that parable, nothing complicated about it, okay? But it has a special meaning, as you're all aware of, that Satan will come and steal some of those seed away. So having given that parable of the sower, in verse 10, he explains why some people can't cut it. And the disciples came, verse 10 of Matthew 13, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you talking in riddles? Why don't you just tell them? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. In other words, not everybody has eyes to see and ears to hear. Let's shore that up. A lot of people would say, well, why would God allow that? Because if they don't have the courage to stand again, we just covered it back in Luke. If you understand and bow to the false Messiah, you're in a heap of hurt. But if you don't understand and bow to him, if you can't see it and you worship him, then there's salvation for you in the millennium. Okay. In other words, it's a sense of innocence they placed upon them, so that they can't see the truth, but that does not protect or change one iota of those that God chooses, that God expects to be a little salty, to be able to see that truth and to make a difference. Okay. And I want you to go with me, if you would, to verse 24. He has just given and explained the parable. You know why that some of it is good and some of it bad. But the word I want you to pick up on is verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the words put forth is paraethemi. It means he entrusts us, he charges, he says, I expect you to guard this truth with your life, even if you have to have ears to hear and eyes to see, not like the rest, not just putting forth, and that kind of could mean anything, but it means paraethemi, to entrust, to charge, to guarantee. In other words, he wants you to take care of it. He wants you to be responsible. He wants you to understand if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Otherwise, hey, no big deal. Just sleep on. It's fine. Okay. Verse 24 again. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. It was the best seed you could find. Okay. And this is the children of God. Okay. But while men slept, his enemy, who is that? Satan, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. Now, tares in the proper language is the one. And you know what? When it springs forth, it looks just like wheat. I mean, an old farmer can't even tell the difference. Looks just like wheat, practically. But then when it matures, the seed, instead of being a bright golden grain, is black and poisonous. Absolutely poisonous. And of course, what we're talking about is the tares, or shortcut, the Kenites. Okay, the children of Cain. So the 27, let's go with verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? How did they get there? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Let's just rip them out of there. We can see the black poisonous seed now. What did God say through the Son? But he said, nay, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. In other words, there's a time and a place for everything. If you start rooting the Kenites out, you're called everything under the sun. And God knows that. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be aware and be a watchman and know and understand what's going on. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will. Let me say that again. God speaking through the Son. I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And so it is. That has a special connotation in introduction. Parathethemi. And it means that you're entrusted with that truth if you see it. He expects you to hang on to it and to know and understand the enemy even today. Well, what does that really mean? Well, it lets you know where the false Messiah appears. Okay. It's the key of David that opens locks that no man can close and closes doors that nobody can open. It's the truth from God's Word. One more, and it's in verse 31. Just listen to it carefully. Another parable put he forth unto them, meaning he charged them, he entrusted them. This is important. You're supposed to hang on to it, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of all of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. In other words, you're going to have tares in it. They'll lodge in it. But you do have the privilege of planting that seed. You know, at the time, certain historians have ridden in this area on horseback, and the mustard plants would come clear up to a man's head on a horseback. Okay. They grow pretty big. Okay. But that's why that your faith and your action, he says, it's important. When you're entrusted with it and when you protect it, It may be seen to you the littlest seed in among herbology, but in the spiritual world, you're a giant. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. That's a nation. And that time is coming. And our Father's in control. So to put forth that word is just a real special word. And it means that you should hang on to it, that you're entrusted with it. And if you're entrusted with it, he expects you to use it. Okay. To use it whereby people can hear and know truth. And I want you to go with verse 33 and listen to it very carefully. In other parables spake he unto them. He didn't say put it forth. So the word, the Greek word is not there. It's entrusted. It's a good teaching, but it's not something he expects you to live by or hang on to it. I point that out to show you the importance of the other two in his teaching so that you know and you understand, because it is fantastic that he gives us parathethemy, which is to set before or to entrust and to carry out, to share, and to be blessed by. Now, I cannot help but to go to this one place and where the disciples themselves, it was new to them. They didn't quite understand it. And really what it hinges on is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Well, what's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15? It's the first prophecy in the Bible. It says to God speaking to Satan, I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. You shall bruise his heels, and he was nailed to the cross, but he's going to crush your head, and that will ultimately come to pass, okay? But here he's explaining in detail where no one can understand the first parable I read to you about the tares. Listen to it carefully, verse 37. After they had asked him, please give us a little more understanding. And he says in verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's to say, our Father and the Son he sent. The field is the world. Don't make any doubt about it. The field we're talking about is the whole world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. And the tares are the children of the wicked one. The wicked one, of course, is Satan. You want documentation? Verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. See, we don't have to take care of it. They do. Why? Because God takes care of us. All you have to do is watch and know and understand and take that truth you're entrusted with and be responsible. Show responsibility. Be a blessing to people. Lift them up. Encourage them when they're down. And let them know Father loves them. Indeed he does, okay? What's going to happen to them? Verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and certainly there will. A lot of people that are deceived. You know, as it is written, when this false Messiah appears, and it's going to happen in your generation, okay? Why? Because you're in the generation of the fig tree, started in 1948. He's going to appear. And many people that are unlearned, I mean, because he's supernatural, he can... You know, it's written in Revelation 13, he can snap his fingers and lightning comes down from heaven. He's supernatural. Can you imagine when our people go nuts over politicians, what they're going to do when the false Christ shows up? Going to be awesome. Make sure you don't get your priorities crossed. And no one understands that we live in a perilous time. And our Father certainly is watching, and he expects us to watch. Now, we could cover this and everything, but why and what does he entrust it to us for? Turn with me in closing to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's find out why he entrusts it, what he expects us to do with it, why we're here, why is it important? Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it reads, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Don't be a wimp, okay? Be strong and be sure of yourself. You know, a lot of people take knowing God's word, if you really know it, as arrogance. It's not so. It's truth. Be strong when you're in the Word, when you study it, when you documented it for yourself. Verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit." Underline that word in your mind. That's why we came here. "Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That word commit is parathethemi. It means entrust it, commit it. Put them in charge of it. Hold them responsible for it. So that they can do what? So that they can, so faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Why? With truth. You know, truth is common sense. Truth is not some difficult thing to understand. It's common sense. Isn't it common sense how God teaches the parable of the sower? Okay. You can see that old boy out there sowing grain, broadcasting it. We broadcast truth now through the ether waves, okay? Instead of covering 30 feet, we take a much wider swath. You know, it covers the whole world. We thank our Father for that. He said we would be able to do things like that. He said, "Greater things than this shall you do," meaning in coverage, and certainly it has come to pass. But he expects us to use common sense and to share that common sense with others so they can teach and share with others. That's how Christianity, true Christianity, grows in all the churches, if they have that truth, if they have eyes to see, and if they have ears to hear. The whole purpose, again, to teach others. The word is pregnant, to let it spread. It keeps growing and growing and growing. Verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." In other words, you're going to, in this old world, there's hardships out there. So guess what? You know that God's blessing you. So if somebody brings a little hardship on, bring it on down, okay? Take care of the tough stuff first. Stomp on it. Get it out of the way. Don't be a wimp. Be a can-do type Christian, okay? And you'll do just fine, okay? God doesn't like lazy people. That's real easy to document. They're called sluggards in the Word of God. It means won't do anything. God considers a lazy person in Proverbs a sluggard, like hinges on the door, only hinged to a mattress. All he can do is flop from one side to the other. You don't know anybody like that? Well, there's some around, okay? But Father expects you to be strong and to bring forth that word, to share it. You're going to have a few troubles in this world. A lot of people will say, "Well, you don't understand, brother. I want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus." Hey, they crucified him. Okay. When they beat him, they put a wreath of thorns on his head. And you want to be like Jesus? I don't think you could cut it, quite frankly. But then maybe it means you're ready to, if somebody brings a little hardship on you, okay, handle it, okay? handle it. No big deal. Okay. You can take care of it. Well, how can I take care of it? God's blessings. God, when you do all you can do, God takes over. Okay. That's why all these things you worry about, just worry about that all the time. But I shouldn't have. It just came to pass real good. Why? Because God took over when you gave up. Okay. Didn't give up, but was worried. Okay. Worry is a waste of time. Big waste of time. God knows what you need, knows where you need it, and when you've earned it, not until. He won't give you something until you earn it. Okay. You can wish and hope all you want to. Wishing and hoping won't do a thing for you. You earn it. Because he said, you, when you do my work, then I know what you have need of, and I will add all those things onto you. He's not going to let you down. So if you're going to be a Christian soldier, you've got to know how to take care of hardship. Okay? And, you know, I lost a brother-in-law this past week, and he was an old Marine like myself. And a person asked me, he said, what was that shell casing they folded in the flag? Does that mean that you should save the last bullet for yourself? And I said, no. Marines aren't trained that way. You take that last bullet and line up as many of the enemy as you can and pop them. And then fix bayonets and charge. If bayonets don't work, get a piece of wire, break their neck, gouge eyes, okay? You don't give nothing. You make them earn it, okay? And so it is. So maybe that's a little gross, okay? But hey, you know what? It works. It gets the job done, okay? That's Marines, and our good Army does the same thing, basically. Okay, but be strong. You can afford to be. You're a child of God. He's your Father. He's sitting on the throne, and He knows what you have need of. Okay, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In other words, you don't, I'll classify it civil and military, only Christian military. Don't let civil earnings, God will bless you. He knows what your business needs if you'll work it right. Okay? He knows. But don't let that interfere with your warring for Him. Okay? That means being entrusted with the truth and not being afraid to use it. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? This goes to like a long distance runner. It's athletic, okay? The word in the Greek is athlos. They have to train to win races, okay? And as they train, they still have to do it lawfully. We've got a lot of them today that don't read this because they kind of cheat a little bit, unfortunately, bless their hearts. You know, they like to take poppy seed juice and stuff like that. That poppy seed juice won't strengthen the muscle. We know what it is and no need to say it, okay? But what you do it lawfully and legally so you don't get entangled in the ways of the world, okay? And 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Meaning what? Your first fruits. A first fruit gets a double blessing in the millennium. And that's what God is telling you here. Consider what I say. This means you think on it. You just stop and relax a minute and let it settle down in your mind. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. If you'll think and reflect on it and pray for wisdom and knowledge, He'll give it. Why? Because He can entrust you with it, and He knows you're not going to be lazy and just let it sit. I don't care who you are. You're responsible for your people. They need you. They need to hear from you. They need to know you. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That's to say the gospel of the prophets and so forth. Wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bounds. In other words, I'm here in prison, he says. But the word of God is not bound. Nobody can bind the word of God, okay? 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, this is the last verse, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And if we suffer with him, he will see that we do not there. Our Father is so precious, and he entrusts you with the truth of the end times to know the difference. And how precious it is that he is able, when you've done your part, he knows where you are. He knows your address. And he will touch you. He will guide you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always protect you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, again for the privilege of being allowed to serve you, Father. We thank you for your word, for your truth. We thank you for entrusting that truth, Father, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Defining